Peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning, as we start, you see that word. Maybe you saw the word in the bulletin with the sermon title. Y'all know what that word means, yes? So we're going to have to kind of go over what it means. That would be redundant. So our first clip today, the video that I was going to show, if it works. If it doesn't, we're okay. But it kind of dates me a little bit. Anyone ever seen the movie Princess Bride? Have you seen the movie Princess Bride? So that word comes up for this guy. Now let's see if it works. Is it not working? Okay, so it's not working. So this guy, his name is Vicini, and he, throughout the movie, keeps repeating this word through things because of things they're going through. And he says, inconceivable. And his traveling companions eventually, and Inigo Montoya is a Spanish guy, and he's looking for the six-fingered man, if you remember. There's one scene where there's a boat following them, and says, inconceivable that this boat is following them. And then they're climbing a cliff, and they cut the rope, and the main hero in the story is supposed to fall. And he looks over, and he says, he didn't fall? Inconceivable. And the Spanish man looks at him and says, I don't think you know what that word means. He says, why? He says, because. It doesn't seem to think you keep using it, and it keeps happening over and over and over. So, and as we think of that today, I was thinking about our reading, our epistle, when we're talking about doing the stuff that we don't want to do. So keep that word in your mind as we go through and look. So we talked about what that word means. So hopefully this will kind of get you kind of in a pattern of thinking here. About what that word inconceivable means. It's something difficult. It's an idea, or it's a word, or it's a concept that really is tough for us to wrap our minds around, to wrap our thinking around, because either maybe it's something that we're not used to, something we do or don't do that someone else does or doesn't do, and it doesn't make sense. It's strange. It's foreign. It's different. And we all find ourselves there at one time or another. But that word applies not only to our epistle, but it applies to our gospel today. As we're talking about that, as we're talking about from Romans, I do what I don't want to do, even though I don't want to do it. All been there, right? Yeah, that's where we are. So Jesus in his ministry, the very first miracle that he does, which starts his ministry, anyone know what that picture's from? Got a guess? Wedding of Cana. So what Jesus does is turn water into wine, which for most people is what? Inconceivable. How can he do this? But it's a very important way to start because it tells us two things about Jesus, right? First of all, it tells us that he's all what? What does he have? Powerful. Can you guys conceive of that? Is that inconceivable? Yeah. But at the same time, what is he also? He's taking care of the people at this wedding. So what does that tell us about Jesus? He's compassionate. Is he human? Absolutely. So at the same time he has all this power, he's also human. He eats. He needs to drink. He needs to sleep. And as we'll find out in my gospel, in my text, he cries. Sinus sounds what to me? Inconceivable, right? So Jesus starts here, and his mother asks him to do this, and he does it. In the perfect time, he chose to do that, of his own accord. His free will made that choice to do it, knowing exactly what it was that he was doing. Oops. I'm trying to go back. Yeah, no, back to the next, right there. So now we kind of jump to this scene, this miracle. Y'all know this scene? Anyone? So who is that in the water? Peter, and he's sinking. So the problem for us, we have this amazing God, this inconceivable love, this inconceivable Jesus that lived his life not for himself, but for us. He died for us. It's an amazing promise, right? That we have salvation because of what? What Jesus did. And that's kind of inconceivable. Sounds good though, right? A great promise. Tap into that power that we read that Jesus had, that the disciples went out and practiced, and Peter. And so the problem for us is that what gets in the way, even in the midst of maybe the good things, not only the struggles in life, the emergencies that we go through, the unexpected things that happen on a daily basis, but even in the midst of our joys, what do? We sink. We lapse. Maybe our faith begins to wane. Because it's inconceivable that God would still love me, even though I just did that. Or if he really loved and cared for me, how is that? Why do I go through this struggle? I've been doing chaplaincy for about a month at Lutheran Hospital, and I've already seen, I do a lot of in the emergency room, spend a lot of time there, and then on the cardiac care on the fifth floor. I've seen both ends of the spectrum, families that are mourning because of loss and families that are rejoicing because a loved one is healing. I saw a 24-year-old who was hit on a scooter and eventually passed away a week later. So that family's questioning, why? Does God really love me? They confessed that as I visited with them, they were Christians. They know that inconceivable power, but their faith is maybe crumbling. It's being tested. So when that's tested, we kind of act like Peter, right? He was fine, like we all do. We jump out of the boat, and he's going to Jesus, but then what does he see? Am I supposed to be walking on the water? That's kind of what? Inconceivable. I can't do this. I'm not supposed to be doing this. And down he goes. Just like us, we go down. But who's there to reach out for him? Jesus. He reaches out to him and pulls him up. He reaches out with a hand, but he's also in action. And isn't that what we talk about as our church? To be a church of action. You're in this community for a what? A purpose. You're doing that movie night on the 21st with the hope of what? Not so you guys get to go out and watch a movie and have a dinner, but what are you hoping to accomplish with that? Get some other people to come to find out that good news, to hear that gospel message. Sure, just by coming to a movie, but seeing who in action? Jesus, and that's what? Inconceivable to people that even though I've done nothing to deserve it or get it, he reaches his hand to me. That is inconceivable that he would do that. And so being the person that Jesus was, he was also an amazing teacher. And that confession on the first two words of that, there's some other words below. My wife being a principal and me a teacher and Emma going through having both of us, well, me as a teacher, that was a struggle in fifth and sixth grade for her, but I haven't had to teach Andrew full-time yet. I've subbed in his classroom different times. So the best educators do what with their students? Well, they teach, but they connect that teaching to them so it sticks in your head. Those two words at the top were amazing for Jesus to confess that. He said, I am. The word in Hebrew, Yahweh. Most people, all people except the people who were in charge, the rabbis, the priests, didn't say that name. It was even almost blasphemous to say that name. So for someone to confess this and say that is what to those people? Inconceivable. Wait, you're Jesus. You're the guy that was Mary and Joseph's son. I know you. You're a human being. I can't picture you as that. Like I said, he was a good teacher, so underneath he describes that. So that it more connects with people, so they understand. So it's not so inconceivable. It becomes part of what I believe and confess. And that's the connection to you and I. We share that same message that the disciples did, that Peter did, that Mary and Martha did. And that's important to know, that we share in that together. I think the battery's dying, so if you want to just kind of advance it. What? So, Jesus knew exactly what Martha needed to hear as her brother had died. Jesus comes. Martha comes to him and says, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I don't think really scolding him, but just saying, I trust in you completely, so much so that if you had been here, you could have stopped it from happening. She needed to hear those words, though. That reassurance. I am the resurrection and the life. So to even know you do the things you know you shouldn't be doing, even though I feel sorry for those things, I know that I share in what Jesus did, because he never did. He never did sin. Even though he wanted to do the right thing, or even the wrong thing that he was tempted to do, he didn't do it. He was perfect. And he was perfect in his sacrifice. Martha needed to hear that and be reassured of that, just like we need to be reassured of that. And that's why it's so important to rejoice in the family that you have here together, so we share in that. And I found out another interesting statistic, that over half of people who are either in nursing homes or hospitals in the country have nobody, like if they're in an extended care, extended time in one of those two places, over half of the people who are residents or patients never have anybody visit. And that's amazing to me. I've had other chaplains tell me that. I've had some of the doctors and nurses tell me that. And so that's what they watch out for, that there's people on the floor where I go. Then they kind of tell me that. And there's situations that I've seen. There's people that have no one. And a strange brother in Tennessee, other than that, this one lady has no family. They're trying to diagnose what's wrong with her, and she's just caught. She's in this endless cycle of, I don't know what to do. My legs hurt. I want to go home, but I don't really want to go home. I want to be with people. So the nurses struggle because they want to go give her care, but sometimes she's angry with them, and other times she demands things of them. Difficult. But isn't difficult what Jesus did? In fact, not difficult, but inconceivable. He overcame, just as we overcome with his help. So at just the right time, Jesus came. At just the right time, when Mary and Martha needed to have him there and see him cry and go through that pain and sorrow with him, he was there. Not only just there, but offered them hope. I am the resurrection and the life. You believe in me, you share in that. And that's the promise for us. And it's a confession that we make. What we're going to be saying next is so important for our faith. It's the bedrock of our foundation of our faith, that we say that Apostles' Creed together. And not only say it, but when you say it, do you mean it? And if you mean it, then are you acting? Are you taking that a next step? As an individual, as a church? And you can kind of take that, a little thermometer test, right? How am I doing? And we hopefully do that from time to time. As a church, we hopefully do that. So we make sure we're not losing that message. We're not just here to have an awesome facility that we get to share and not reach out to people in this community through your preschool, through your daycare, the things that you do as a congregation. So kind of with that in mind, what we're going to do, I'd like to have us all say this last this verse 27 together. So this is John chapter 11, 25 to 30. So we're going to confess this together. So let's just say that this was Martha's response then back to Jesus. So Jesus saying, do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So as we do that, we close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you. Thank you that your love is inconceivable, your power is inconceivable, and your might is inconceivable. Lord, we just ask you to bless us this day as we worship together. Thank you that we have this opportunity to do so. And help us as we go out from this place, sharing your love and your message with everyone that we come into contact with every day. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things, and all God's people said, amen.